Before we start today's show, we want to share some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Normal Gossip is back for its sixth season. If you've ever found yourself eavesdropping on strangers' juicy conversations and maybe wanting to chime in too, this show is for you. On Normal Gossip, host Kelsey McKinney shares the juiciest gossip sent in by listeners all around the world, then brings in a special guest to weigh in on the actions within the story. The stories are everything from petty to bizarre to downright strange. Fun fact, you might recognize a few of this season's guests from the Radiotopia universe. So check it out. New episodes start April 17th. Listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts. Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Radiotopia. From PRX.
This is Radio Diaries.
Hello? Nope, wrong button. There. Hello?
Oh, let me do the introduction now. Hi, my name is Josh. If you saw me on the street, you wouldn't notice anything different about me.
My name is Amanda, and I guess in a way I always known that I was bisexual.
People always used to pick on me all the time, you know. And then one day, I decided to play football.
I'm Mexican and I'm here in the U.S. It's like kind of amazing, you know.
I didn't think I was going to get pregnant. It just happened.
My radio show, thank you.
Juan, Amanda, Frankie, Josh, Melissa. The voices you just heard are some of the teenagers who carried tape recorders 16 years ago for our NPR series Teenage Diaries. This year, they recorded diaries again to document their grown-up lives. One thing all of these stories have in common is an element of surprise. All of the teenagers dreamed their lives were going to turn out one way, and what ended up happening was, well, different. This is especially true for Frankie Luchuk, who you just heard revving up his car as a 16-year-old. More on what happened to him later on, but first, hey Frankie, how you doing?
Okay.
Okay. So Frankie, when you were a teenager, I had the pleasure of going through all the raw material of your teenage life as you recorded on cassette tape, and I feel like I got to know your car really well. What kind of car was that again?
A 76 Coupe de Ville Cadillac. Having that big car made me think I was cool because it wasn't a country boy car. It was fixed up like a show car kind of. Fancy wheels on it and new paint job, the leather interior. And it had a lot of chrome my dad put on it. And it just meant a lot to me. I still talk about it sometimes. Out of all the cars that I've gotten rid of, that was one of my main ones I wish I still had today.
So today on the podcast, first we're going to listen to your original teenage diary, and then we're going to come back and talk about your new story. Give us a sense of, you know, who was Frankie Luchuk 16 years ago?
I was just a kid growing up in the country. I mean, involved in sports. I really wasn't into girls because I was shy in school, I guess. And, yeah, everything was going good then. One day I found out that my last name wasn't my last name that I thought that I had. It was hard on me.
Well, let's listen now to your original teenage diary. And it's sort of about what happens when everything you think is true about your family turns out to be not.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Frankie, and I'm going to give you a little tour of the outside of my house, which, like, see, where I live, you gotta come off the main road about a mile back on a dirt road, and then here's my house right here. This is a pretty old house. It's been here a while. When we first moved here, we had to move out of our other house because of a situation that happened to my father. We had to move here, and we didn't think this house was going to be worth living in because it was so messed up. The walls were all rotted out. The living room had a big hole in the wall, and there was no bathroom. And it took me and my mom about a month to fix it up. But now we're in it, and it looks like a brand new house, and we're glad to be in it. Okay, now I'm going down the stairs. My sisters are back here talking on the phone, so if you hear a little noise, excuse me. And I'm going to show you a little bit on my Cadillac here, okay? That's out here in my front yard right now. My dad, he had it when I was a baby, and he fixed it up and everything, and he kept it for me until I got 16, old enough to drive it. Now it's my car. I'm gonna open the door and let you see what I got in here. It's all red inside. The dash is all in pretty red carpet, and the seats are all carpeted and everything. We got a topper on here, a leather topper, and if you put mink oil on it, shines it. So I got me some mink oil, and I shined it up. It looks pretty good. I'm going to get it painted this summer. It's black now. I'm getting it painted metallic purple or candy apple red. You know, I got a big system in my car, and I like hearing bass. When I turn country on, it sounds good, but whenever it seems like whenever I put rap in, people say they can hear me coming down the road. Doom, boom, boom, boom. You know, and I think that's pretty cool. Kind of makes me feel proud and big and bad and macho, kind of like, you know, getting to drive around in a big, long, nice Cadillac. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about my personality and stuff. I wear nice jeans, nice shirts. You know, I wear Levi's. I will not wear anything if they're not Levi's to school. At home, sure, I wear Wranglers and old raggy old pants, but you know, I just like looking decent for school, and I like combing my hair decent and looking good. I used to be a wimp in school in 7th and 8th grade. Nobody liked me, and they used to call me, my name's Frank, and they used to call me Francis, a girl's name, because they thought I was a real big wimp. But since I started playing football in 9th and 10th grade, and all I did was get a haircut, start wearing decent clothes, and play sports, now I'm a popular person, you know, and I got a good popularity in school, and I want to keep it going that way.
What's up, bro?
Nothing.
I'm jamming, brother.
My dad used to play music, you know, and he still got his original guitar, and every now and then he'll get it out, play him some songs or something.
What song you fixing to sing? About dreaming or something?
Hey, listen to this. Dreaming, I'm always dreaming. Dreaming, love will be mine. Do-da-do-da-do-da-do-da, searching.
Well, my dad, he's one of the guys back from the old days with his beard and holy jeans. He'll wear the same pants and shirt all the time. You know, he'll wash them. He just wears the same clothes. He buys all these junk cars, old antique cars, and drives old cars. Always playing old music. Just acts like it's the old days still.
Keep it right on dreaming. Keep right on dreaming, dreaming, dreaming.
Me and my dad, we go to Chattanooga every weekend up there. We get up every Saturday morning around 6 o'clock, get down there around 7. We set up our tables.
They call it 23rd Street Flea Market. That's right on the street.
I mean, everybody that drives by so can see it.
202 runs about 75. Yeah, I can take 50. Okay, well, I'll be here for a little while. Just come back. All right, thanks.
We have cordless telephones, answering machines, batteries, plungers, TV antennas, cassette tapes. We have pictures of Jesus clocks, flower clocks, touch lamps. And then we have our 8-inch speakers all here in the back. So we got a lot of different things.
Working at the flea market's a good living for us, because if you got the right merchandise at a flea market, you can make good money. And we make enough every weekend to pay our bills, put food on the table.
He's eating a taco. He's eating a taco there.
Okay, I'm going to tell you the story about my dad now a little bit. Because he wasn't here a while back. My dad, I don't know how to put this to you here. I'm going to come back up the steps and sit down and talk a little bit here. Okay.
About 16 years ago, my dad was a professional singer, and after he got done singing one night, and when he was leaving, there was this guy there. And my dad was friendly to everybody, so my dad gave him a ride. And they left and pulled out of the bar going down the street. And that guy was, you know, drunk, and he jumped over in the seat and grabbed my dad. threw him in the floor, and the car went over in the ditch, flipped over, and the guy was on top of my dad, and he was choking the breath out of him. My dad said, last thing he remembers is seeing the street lights down the street getting dimmer and dimmer. And my dad was a hunter, and he always carried a little buck knife with him for hunting, and he started swinging it, you know, to try to get the guy off of him before he lost his life, and he started swinging it. And he cut the guy, and the guy fell out of the car door. And he told the police at the hospital that my dad just jumped him all of a sudden, started cutting him. And they believed that guy over my dad. And they made the sentence, and they found my dad guilty. So he was going to get 10 to 20 years in prison. And my dad came home and told my mom. So they decided to pack their bags and leave. So they headed down south.
I knew I had to go somewhere where I had no relatives, where anybody looked for us. When you were a baby, you were 6 months old. And so I took an old station wagon and a trailer, and we headed south and never looked back.
Me and my mom and dad, we were all on the run, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't know. I just thought we were just traveling, you know.
We stayed at campgrounds and camped and lived in a tent when you were a baby in the middle of the winter.
I mean, when I think back on it now, it seems crazy, but for food, we knew a guy that owned the grocery store, and he would tell us when the meat, you know, that was out of date, into the dumpster. And after hours, I would be sticking with my feet up in the air and my head down in the big dumpster, digging out hamburger meat and pork chops and anything that we could find, take it home and clean it.
My mom and dad was on the run for 15 years, and I didn't know anything about 15 years. See, I really didn't think it was strange because I didn't know nothing about it until one day I was coming home from school. I got off the school bus. My dad and mom were in the kitchen fixing a waffle iron. And about 10 minutes after I got off the bus, all these cops pulled in our yard. And my dad looked out the window, and he looked at our family in the kitchen and just said, he loves us and he'll never forget us.
Hi, Mom, Frankie, Jenny, Johnny, Angel. You know, I'd give everything if I could be with you tonight.
This here's a tape my dad sent from prison. On here it says, to Mommy and all my kids, I love you very much. Love, Daddy.
Guess what? I got the guitar, and I'm sitting here back over here in my corner. It's kind of quiet, except for the wind blowing. Well, this goes out to my little family.
He'd play on his guitar and sing to us. And I listen to those every now and then.
Oh, my love. My darling, I've hungered for your touch.
When he first left, that was like him dying. I mean, I was the worst than anybody in our family. I couldn't quit crying. I thought I was going to have a breakdown. I was, no, that's just... It's after he was gone, me and my mom would get in arguments, and I'd want to run away and leave. When he left, I didn't know how to crank a chainsaw. I didn't know how to use an axe or drive a straight shift truck or run a business. I had to learn how to do that when my dad was gone. Be the man of the house, because I thought I was going to have to be the man of the house for, you know, for years to come.
My love, my love. I love you, everybody.
Everything's okay, though, now. My dad's home to stay. He won the appeal. He came up the driveway honking the horn. Coming up the driveway with our preacher, and we were all out in the yard waiting to see him. And it's the first time I'd seen him for 2 years, and it's just never going to be a day I'll never forget.
Good day. Get them crackers.
When Dad first left, did you think he'd ever come back? Or think he'd be in jail forever?
I always try to think positive all the time that Daddy would come home, and he did. I always say, you know, 16 years of our life that we lived in hell, of the worries and the pressures all the time, but that dark cloud was lifted off of us, and it all has turned out for the best.
I'm free again. Don't care who hears me play or sing anymore. I'll just play a little bit of the song that I wrote about the Lincoln, Nebraska State Prison. It goes like this. When man is set free,
from a prison that's made of coal.
That was our postmaster, I believe, that turned him in. It was our church. My dad hated him for turning him in, but now it's all over. My dad went in, shook his hand, and told him thank you for turning him in, because now my dad's got a driver's license. She got his GED in prison, got a diploma. There it is right there, right here on this door. It just shows him standing there in the hallway holding up his diploma in the prison there. When people take, you know, their families for granted every day, like tonight, that was the first time in a long time we've ate together at the kitchen table, and it made me feel kind of good just to sit there and looked over at my dad, seen him sitting there knowing that he could still be laying in a prison cell right now, me sitting there looking at that empty chair. Every night when he was gone, I'd sit over and look at that empty chair where he'd sit and just think, now that he's there, I can look over there. He'll sit over and he'll smile at me, you know. Know that he's back home.
Me and Nathan's creature is gone with 7 hours.
That was Frankie's first teenage diary, which aired on NPR in 1997. Frankie, I love that song that your dad is playing at the end. I think your dad thought it was really a story about him in a sense. He thought he was the star of your diary.
Yeah, he's always been that way.
So for listeners who don't already know this, you recorded a second teenage diary about playing football for your high school team, the Valleyhead Tigers.
Yes, and not to interrupt, for the first time since 1960, Valleyhead is 9-0 and just won the region.
The Valleyhead Tigers are 9-0 right now?
They're untouchable. They look like a mini Alabama team.
That's not exactly the record they had when you were starring on that team, right?
No. When I played, we only won maybe 2 games a year. We won 3 games my senior year.
Was it hard after high school to not be playing football anymore?
Yeah, it was hard on me, but I always joke with my mom and dad and everybody and tell them I'm going to get in shape and walk on at the small college here in Chattanooga and start at linebacker as a 33-year-old redshirt freshman. Yeah, I still think about it.
Well, over the last 16 years, a lot of other stuff happened in your life, and that's what we're going to hear now. And I have to say, I was really thrown for a loop when I heard what happened to you in your 20s.
Yeah. And I had my ideas of going to college and doing this and that, but when I graduated, that didn't work out. And you only can live once, and people regret stuff, and you can't go back and change nothing.
All right, well, I think that's a great segue to listen to your new story. This is Frankie's Diary from the series Teenage Diaries Revisited.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right. My name is Frankie Luchuk. It's been 16 years ago I done a story.
Hi, my name is Frankie, and I'm going to give you a little tour on my Cadillac here. Okay? That's out here in my front yard right now.
I know it's me, but it just sounds different, you know.
I'm going to open the door and let you see what I got in here. It's all red inside. I'm getting it painted metallic purple or candy apple red. People say they can hear me coming down the road. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, I was the only kid where I went to school that had a car like that. But I loved it. Boom, 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 boom. The only thing that I loved more than my car was playing football. I was 100% very awesome football player. It's good to look back and know that I was good at something growing up.
Hey, you gotta buy some new jacks. Them RCA jacks ain't no good.
Here we are right in front of Stereo City in East Ridge, Tennessee.
I pulled this radio out and all the wires in the dash are cut.
I sell car audio and install car audio. It's our family business. We're off I-75 right behind the Wendy's.
See if it works. There it goes, there it goes, there it goes. We got power, boys and girls.
Catching up on my life now? Well, about 6 years ago, I got in some trouble, and I can talk about that later. But other than the trouble, the last 16 years, nothing's really changed except my age. I live in a trailer, but it's a two-bedroom, two-bath trailer. I got my wife with a baby coming, and I'm going to be a daddy. And I mean, all I want to do is keep working, helping mom and dad. That's all I've really ever did since I've been out of school, really.
Give me 1 minute.
Dad, where's our book?
When I come in the shop, Dad's working there at his desk every morning.
And what am I supposed to say? I'm Dennis Luchuk, and Frankie's my son.
I grew up watching Dad sell radio stuff when I was a kid. Dad's still there doing the same thing, wearing the same pair of overalls he's had his whole life. He has a beard with long hair, kind of like ZZ Top. Just anybody that comes in, he'll sit down all day long, talk to you the whole day.
Dreaming.
Then he gets into his music mode where he plays guitar after song after song. He even has our customers in there singing with him.
Ooh, I'm dreaming.
I mean, I love my dad with all my heart, but it's just, my dad's one of those kind of people, if you do something to him one time, he holds a grudge or he stays stubborn or, you know, when we first opened up this business, he named it Frank Stereos, you know, after me, but it's not like that anymore. He scratched the Franks off the window and changed it to Stereo City. That really broke my heart, you know. But I don't think he'll ever trust me again, ever. Because what I did when I was on drugs.
This is US-101.
This is Frankie again. We're in Valley Head, Alabama, where I grew up. Right between two mountains in the middle of nowhere. I know every piece of woods in here, every tree, everything there is to know about this, I know.
What you doing, boy?
I'm waiting on your eyes.
God damn, let's wait and talk to an old neighbor. Oh, you want to be on the radio too?
Here's Daryl. First time I did my drugs is with him.
Been a minute ago, ain't it?
Yeah.
Daryl lived up the road from me, just invited me over one night, and I seen him get some tinfoil out of his pocket. And I asked him what he was doing, and he said, "Don't tell my wife," he said, "but I'm fixing to take me a hit of crystal meth." Next thing I know, he's like, "You want to try this?" I said, "Heck no." He's like, "Come on, come on, just try it once." He goes, "I won't tell nobody you did it." Well, I tried it once with him, and I liked the feeling that it gave me, the high that it gave me. And from that day on, for about a year straight, I couldn't go without it.
You just got hooked to it on that first draw.
Yeah, I know it.
All it takes. I got you though.
No, hell, that ain't your fault. You didn't break my arm. Yeah. Well, I was an adult. Well, go and get down the other way. Hey, nice stop
do,
and say
I
hi
do.
To
I'm
you.
I'm glad you come by here because I do need some speakers.
I was 24 years old when I started doing what I did. Well, I went from being on the front page of football, representing my little bitty school, to being on the front page of a thief and a meth head. My family meant nothing to me. Life meant nothing to me. I didn't care. All I wanted to do was get high. I would steal, like, push mowers or tools out of garages, just stuff that I knew I could resell real quick to support my drug habit. And I would steal stuff from my dad out of our store too. I'd go sit up in the middle of the road right in front of my house where I lived at night, and I'd just sit there and smoke meth and listen to the radio. Just listen to the radio and just sit there.
You weren't even my son for that year. I could talk to you and you were just like in a daze.
Yeah.
I never, ever, ever dreamed like something would happen to you like this, Frankie. Never, ever thought you would get on drugs.
It didn't happen either, but...
Because you weren't that type of person. At 16, you were a whippersnapper, and every day, remember, when you get ready for school, you come in, "Mom, Mom, is my shirt tucked in straight in the back? Is my hair look good?" I mean, you were so preppy in school and football, and then to see all you transforming your life with the drugs was just like from night and day. Boy, it tore me to pieces. Every night I would come home and pray and pray, and when you got arrested, I was happy. I mean, because I knew that you were going to get some help.
I was in the DeKalb County Jail in Alabama. I was in a
jail cell that had 8 beds in it with about 70 people in it. So you had to sleep on the floor, sleep by the shower, sleep right by where everybody uses the restroom. That's where I had to sleep. I was right beside the urinal where I had to lay my head every night. And that was my fork in the road. It took going to jail and going to rehab and getting told what to do by someone else like I was a kid all over again to straighten my life up. But I did it.
And now look, boy, I see a young man, and I'll say young at 32 years old, and I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
When Dad went to prison, Frankie, back in 94, was hard. And then when Dad came home, this happens to you. And it was just like another cycle again. But we all stuck together as a family.
We've been through a lot of stuff.
Well, I mean, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you, no matter what.
I know.
Do you love me?
I love you, yes.
Do you love me?
I love you, Mama.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing that I haven't talked about was my dad was in jail, too. He stabbed a guy in self-defense, but I'm not for sure exactly what the charges were. He had to do 18 months in prison.
Hi, Mom, Frankie, Jenny, Johnny, Angel. You know, I'd give everything if I could be with you tonight.
He had a tape recorder, and he would talk to us. And he would sing us music on his guitar while he was in prison. He did that the whole time he was in there. It would happen to Dad and it happened to me.
I love you, everybody.
How did you feel when I went to jail knowing you was in jail?
Well, after me being in there and then to see you there, I didn't know back then if you'd ever get right again or if we'd ever get you back.
Oh, you know I stole stuff from you when I was on drugs, but you know I'm sorry for it.
The stuff that you took, I forgive you for those, but I mean, I don't forget about what I went through with you. And I do fear someday that trying it again and
that ain't even my mind.
That happens to lots of people. Never say never. It could happen again.
No.
I still worry about it as a father. I always will.
Yeah, I told you I ain't going to do that crap. It's been since 2006 when I got off drugs. It's been clean since.
Well, Frank, I believe I've taken advantage of my second chance. And you have a second chance. You need to use it. Am I right?
We'll find out, I guess. Tell him, baby. This is Frankie again. It's been a couple months since I talked to you. A lot's happened since then. Had a little baby girl, and I'm a daddy now. And her name is Aubrey Crimson Luchuk. Crimson Tide. It's Alabama's football team.
She's making some kind of crazy noises. I've got the recorder sitting on her belly. And she's holding on to my thumb. She's got her mommy's eyes and her mama's hair. And she's got two necks like I got. Just can't believe that. I don't know that God makes stuff that beautiful.
What are you doing?
I'm going to be the best dad I can be. I hope to be running that shop someday and then my kid be down there helping me hook up radios. The world's so crazy, I mean. You never know how things are going to turn out. You never know. This is Frankie Luchuk and Aubrey Crimson Luchuk. We'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
I'm just a country boy. Money have I none. I've got silver in the stars, gold in the morning sun.
Frankie, thank you so much for being part of this project.
You're welcome.
So let me ask you before we go, how old is Aubrey right now?
She's 9 months old in another week.
And is she rooting for the Crimson Tide?
She is a diehard little Alabama fan. She loves it. So we do, every weekend we dress her up in Alabama cheerleading outfit and put little Alabama A stickers on her, Alabama bow. She'll smack her hands back and forth together and start scooting and get real happy.
All right, Frankie, well, when you teach her to talk, let me know. Maybe we'll give her a tape recorder.
All right. It won't be long.
I've got silver in the stars. I got gold in the morning sun.
Frankie's Diary was produced by Sarah Reynolds and myself, along with Sarah Kate Kramer, Deborah George, and Ben Shapiro. To hear all the other stories from Teenage Diaries Revisited, go to radiodiaries.org, or you can check out old episodes of our podcast. Radio Diaries is part of Radiotopia from PRX, a collective of some of the best story-driven, creative, cutting-edge radio shows on Earth. I'm Joe Richman. Thanks for listening.
I've got gold in the morning sun.
Radiotopia.